I don't think it would be bad, and Travis would probably agree with me, that if there's a street dividing the frontage, to have a monument sign on each side of the street would seem okay, even though it doesn't have 600 feet of frontage.
So that's definitely something we could code if,
Although this is technically a driveway, right?
It is a driveway going, it's a commercial driveway is what it is.
Yeah, it's a commercial driveway.
Yeah.
Usually you don't have properties with a road going in.
Yeah.
What I can really think of is Southville, that really has two roads going into the development. Even the homestead doesn't have a road going into it, that's really their own commercial driveway.
Right.
Do you mind if I ask some hypotheticals on this situation?
Definitely, that's what we wanna hear, is, we wanna cover all the issues.
Perfect example of trying to figure it out.
So hypothetically, we were thinking that right here would be the, kind of the, what would you call a monument sign?
Yeah.
That kind of explains that these are the eight businesses in the area.
Right.
And then hanging off the side of the building would be those.
Blade.
Kind of those blade style signs, you know, one here, one up there, one up there, one up there, and one over here hanging off of Haven.
Yep.
And then obviously one or two back on that building and a couple off that building.
Yep.
And then these businesses have talked about, you know, putting their name in, you know, the gold lettering or some type of a lettering on the window.
Yeah.
So what parts of that will fly and what parts of that won't fly?
Okay, I like this exercise.
Yeah.
So the one monument sign, you know, that does work. We just have to make sure it's not in the clear view area of your driveway and road. And according to the way the code is written right now, that could be up to 40 feet. And that's something I've debated, kind of in my head, we've talked about it. Since it's based off how many businesses are there, you know, 40 is kind of big, but when you look at Old Swiss Square sign, you kind of need a 40 square foot sign to cover all those different structures.
It's basically an 8x10, right? I mean,
yeah,
eight
it's an
by,
eight by
no,
10.
No,
no,
5x8.
5x8
yeah.
To come
five
up
by
with
eight.
The 40 square feet.
Which is really not that big.
It's really not.
It's a sheet of plywood. It's a
yeah.
little bit bigger than a sheet of plywood.
And so it's not a huge sign. It is bigger than what's in our current code, but I don't think our current code covers when there's so many businesses in one development. And so that's why that's a bit larger.
So we have talked about making that this bigger, and you could certainly have the projecting signs from all the buildings.
Yeah,
businesses.
Well, so, yeah, you definitely could have a sign for each business. What I think gets complicated is, like, Haven, for instance, already has their sign in front. They wouldn't be able to have another sign on this side of the building because they've already used their allotment.
They've already used their square footage?
Their
or you mean the number of?
Really, there's not a square footage for, in this scenario, for the structures. They don't do the calculation, but they each get to have one sign off that menu board. And they've already got that sign based off of the hanging sign at the front door.
Oh.
So let's say the business over in this location, the way the code is written, they would be able to have one sign, and they need to choose, do we want it facing 200 West, or do we want it facing kind of the inner driveway within the development? I mean, I could see a provision that's written where these buildings are kind of on the corner, make it to, but then we really have to figure out how to write that. But the way the code is written, each one would get their own sign based off of this menu board. They either get a wall sign that's 16 square feet, hanging sign that's 6 square feet, projecting sign that's 6 square feet.
Those are ORs?
Those are ORs. You
Those
only get
ORs.
One
pick,
of
pick
each
one.
Of these per business.
Wall sign, hanging sign, projecting
And then
sign.
The other thing you mentioned was the kind of the, in the windows themselves having kind of a sign in gold.
The lettering, yeah.
And that would work as long as it's not more than 30% of the window area. And so that would limit the size, so.
Yeah.
In addition to the hanging sign or
yep.
the projecting sign?
Yeah, so somebody could always put something in their window. We're just trying to limit that overall square footage in the window. But so I like the hypothetical because we can go through and really analyze how the code works by doing that, which I think is great. So I guess what the Planning Commission needs to decide, what works well and what needs to change, and then we can write a code to match that.
So what if there were businesses in the upper, the second level, and they had to obviously enter through the main level, could you put projecting signs or hanging signs on the main level, maybe, you know, ABC upstairs or something like that?
We do have provisions for that.
Okay.
Yeah, you can do that, and we're not saying where the sign needs to be located. And so it could be on the lower floor, but each business gets a sign.
Yeah.
And they could decide, hey, are we gonna put it up above? But there is a limit on how high the sign can be on the building itself. I wanna say it's 20 feet.
Can't be more than 20 feet.
I mean, it wouldn't make sense to put it up so high.
No.
If you put it too high, it actually doesn't look as.
Yeah, businesses on that level.
Signs can't be too close to one another.
Yeah.
You know, they can't be right on top, so we have a provision in there for that too. But yes, they would, each one, each business would get a sign.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Done a nice job.
Yeah, there's a lot to think about with all of this, I'll tell you that.
So how many businesses are in here, or will be in here?
It depends on how square footage is broken down, like if, you know, somebody takes a unit or if they, you know what I mean?
Maximum, what would be the maximum?
But maximum, 10.
10?
Probably closer to probably 8.
8 to 10? So you'd have to put 8 to 10 names on a monument sign.
Yeah.
And then hanging signs for each of the businesses down.
Yeah.
That work?
Yeah,
on 40 square feet?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if you divide that into that, it's probably a foot by 2 feet.
That each get. Mm-hmm.
Something like that, a foot to 2 feet. So 1 foot tall by a foot or 2 feet wide is pretty much what they'll get.
And so, since we know that there's quite a bit of turnover in small businesses, how do you make a sign that can, or a monument sign that can have the individual businesses updated where you've got this depth situation?
Yeah, really, so I'll just go back to like Old Swiss Square, for instance, here.
Or Spruce just is doing that.
Yeah, so let's say this is 40 square feet, you've got the different businesses on here. Basically, the signs could be placed on the monument sign. But the signs need to have depth. Each individual business sign would need to
so
have
they,
depth.
So a business would have to come in and do a 1 by 2 foot engraved
it can be
sign
added in.
That would just be hung
there.
Okay,
yeah.
Got
yeah.
it.
Like
that
a separate
sense.
Piece that could go in
yeah.
that slot.
But you'd want them all, as the sort of landlord, you'd want them to follow
yeah.
the guidelines
yeah.
so
yeah.
they're all consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you
really,
could do that.
The granary's done that where, you know, Watts owns that building and all the signs are fairly consistent. It looks pretty nice.
Yeah.
And so that would be the idea, is they're kind of interchangeable on these monument
yeah.
signs.
Okay, that makes
those
sense.
Those signs don't have depth, so we're not going to hold them out as an example.
Right.
Yes, that's not what we're looking
example
for.
Of kind of being consistent
right.
with one another.
Some do, some don't, so we need to, all of them need to have depth for this, yeah. So we've gone over that scenario. This is the enforcement side of things. Illegally placed signs on public property or public right are subject to immediate removal and subject to fines and retrieval fees as approved by the city council in the fee schedule. With reasonable notice to the owner, illegally placed signs on private property are subject to removal and subject to fines and retrieval fees as approved by the city council. So we just grab them out of the right of way. We can take them off private property. Usually we try to contact the property owner first, but you know, like during Swiss days, we'll get people who will put signs up all over town, and it's the day we want everything to look perfect in town, right? And all of a sudden we get these signs. We want the ability to actually confiscate those signs if they're illegal, so that's in the code. You know, according to the code also, we would hold the signs for 15 days from the date of retrieval. Not retrieved within those 15 days, we could
Michael, so talk real quick on that. As far as Swiss days, people love putting up these, you know, no parking signs, and it's like there's not such a thing in the city.
Yeah.
So can you address this here for us, just quick?
This is a whole other issue. Yeah, we had all kinds of signs and people trying to eliminate parking or limit parking in front of their property, which they can't do. It's a public right of way.
Or sell parking on private.
What about
right.
down?
We don't allow that at all. You can't sell the public right of way. So
what about down by the mercantile? We went there the other night, and all the way down the street, that says resident parking.
Yeah.
Resident parking only, resident parking only. How is that legal?
Yeah, so the city has put up those signs, and there's not, I'll be honest, there's not enforcement behind it right now. There could be very soon, because we're getting very close to having police force here in Midway.
But is it not a public right of way?
But they, because they have those cones.
So the city, basically, they're saying that the residents can park along that road, trying to say the commercial patrons don't park in that area. There's really not enforcement for it, but those signs are there by the city. We have this problem anywhere we have the commercial to residential interface.
So why is that okay there? But I bet if I put one in front of my house, I'd get in trouble.
It's all, who puts the sign there? If it's the city, it's okay.
But why did you put it there?
So I did not put it there.
Okay, why did the city put it there?
Why did Melanie put it there? She's not here. Let's get Melanie.
There's several there.
Yeah, kind of the history is some streets.
Is it the RT rule?
The RT rule. Oh, I know what you're talking about. Got it. I can tell you there's three streets that have those signs, if I remember correctly. And it's not just that one. There's another. First West has that, and I want to say Second West has that too. And so it's where we've had problems where there's been a lot of commercial parking in front of residences. So we've tried to kind of keep the commercial where the commercial is and keep the residential where the residential is. The city does own the right-of-ways, and so the city can decide who, you know, what signs go up. And in our general plan, we're trying to protect commercial businesses. That's the way it's written right now. So really, if we did follow the general plan in that aspect, we'd probably take those signs down.
Yeah.
Those homes happen to be in the commercial zone, and they've been in the commercial zone for over 50 years. So
yeah, I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. We get both sides of the city. You get it from the business owners and from the residents. You can't.
I'm sure. I know there's been a fight there for years.
So that's how we would handle enforcement. Let's see. Any person who erects, installs, alters, or relocates a sign that requires a permit under this code, and who fails to obtain an approved permit before installing the sign, shall be guilty of a Class C misdemeanor and subject to the fines or retrieval fees as approved by the city council. So
this is already in the code.
Yeah, this language is pretty standard from what we've been working with. We do have findings that you can consider if your options are recommending denial, recommending approval, or continuing the items. We can discuss it further, or we can continue discussing tonight, but when you get to the motion part of tonight. possible findings to consider: the proposed changes help better promote the vision of Midway as described in the general plan as a small town with an old European and Swiss character. The proposed amendments to the Midway City Sign Code significantly expand the scope of definitions and provide practical examples to better assist applicants in understanding what is permissible under the sign code. Third one is the proposed amendments to the Midway City Sign Code utilize formulas for calculating allowable sign area to promote fairness and consistency in application. Additionally, sign area under the proposed amendments is proportional to the building size, so the larger buildings are not disadvantaged relative to smaller buildings with respect to sign area. Next one, proposed amendments to the Midway City Sign Code reduce the use of vague and subjective terms to improve consistency in application. It's been a problem we've had is somebody comes in, we try to enforce the code, we say, hey, this is what the code allows, and then they point to a sign that has been put up from years and years ago. And this is helping kind of push the reset button on the code, so we can say, well, what's there is there, but from this point on, this is what the rules are, and we're enforcing the rules completely. So number five, proposed amendments to the Midway City Sign Code promote communication between applicants and staff, and provide more specific guidance to applicants and staff to aid the application process. The code really promotes